Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's up, friends? Happy Wednesday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thanks so much for taking a small part of your day and making Pack-A-Day a part of it. We always appreciate that a ton. Of course, we are here for you 365 days a year, bringing you brand new podcasts, brand new content, daily draft with Ross Uglum starting back up again. Super excited about that. If you like it, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews, tell a friend about the show. We always appreciate that stuff a ton. We've got a lot to go over today. We're going to be going over DK Metcalf. Does a trade for Metcalf make sense? That is a name that has been bandied about. Ken Ingles posted on Twitter, salary cap expert, of course, for those who don't know who Ken is, of like the most likely trades or like one that would maybe make the most sense for both sides, right? And he put DK Metcalf at the top of his list. Saw some rumors, not rumors swirling, some ideas being swirled, not actual rumors here, but ideas being swirled around the internet of like, could a Jair Alexander for DK Metcalf deal make some sort of sense? We'll go through all of that and we'll understand better, hopefully at the end of this episode, what DK Metcalf would bring to Green Bay, if Seattle would be interested in making a move. Would a Jair for Metcalf sort of swap make any sort of sense? And then, you know, ultimately, should this be something that Green Bay looks into, considers, etc.? We'll go through all of that today. Before we get there, a couple pieces of news and notes. First and foremost, Micah Hyde, Green Bay Packer, who unfortunately should have been a Packer longer than what he was, ultimately ended up with the Bills and a couple stints, somewhere else as well. Was he in Miami for a hot second? But either way, ended up back in Buffalo. He is officially retiring. Unbelievable career. Actually, I believe is the last person to still have a punt return touchdown for Green Bay, believe it or not. One of those players that escaped. There's a time period where Micah Hyde and Casey Hayward found their way out of Green Bay. It was after sort of that Quentin Rollins, Demarius Randall, Ladarius Gunter sort of, you know, it wasn't even a youth movement. They just invested in the secondary, looked at Hayward and Hyde and said, yeah, we don't really need these guys because we got these young guys coming up. And we all know kind of how that went in hindsight, but all time, great story, unbelievable day three pick for Green Bay, good special teams player, corner safety in Green Bay, and then became an unbelievable safety in Buffalo. He's calling it a career. And hopefully, you know, he finds whatever's next for him, but a really cool career for him. And congratulations on the retirement there for Micah Hyde. Meanwhile, Anthony Campanelli, the Packers linebackers coach, who I would assume was probably instrumental or pretty instrumental in the improvement and development of one Edgerrin Cooper through the course of the season, is interviewing for the defensive coordinator position in Jacksonville. This, I think, would be a very difficult and tough loss for Green Bay because, again, it does seem like he's doing a really good job with that linebacker room. Edgerrin Cooper was fantastic in his rookie season. We saw flashes, I thought, really for the first time out of Quay Walker for about a 3-4 game stretch of like what really good peak Quay Walker could look like. Maybe not consistent yet, but for the first time we saw, I think, those really high-end peak flashes for, and not just in moments, right? Like a 3-4 game stretch that we saw from Quay that was really exciting. And I think Anthony Campanelli probably had something to do with that. Eric Wilson played one of his best seasons in a long time since getting starting snaps. That hasn't happened in a long time for him. He played well, all things considered. I thought McDuffie had a pretty solid season when he was in there. So Anthony Campanelli was getting those linebackers to play at a pretty solid level. He's going to need to continue to unlock Quay Walker. He's going to need to continue to get Edgerrin Cooper playing at an even higher level because the ceiling is, you know, just insane. And, you know, you want to get Tyron Hopper, you know, playing at a much higher level as well. But Anthony Campanelli, one of the best linebacker coaches in the business, by all accounts, he gets that defensive coordinator opportunity. We'll see if he actually gets it in Jacksonville or if he can stay in Green Bay. But keep your fingers crossed that he can stay in Green Bay because I think he did a fantastic job with the linebackers this past year. Meanwhile, on the other coaching note, Mike McCarthy will not coach in 2025, rather focus on the potential openings in 2026. That is apparently after he was not really of much interest in New Orleans At least that's some of the reports out there, is it pretty much came apparent that McCarthy was not going to get the job in New Orleans. So I think he did a little bit of PR and said, actually, I'm going to focus on 2026. But either way, we'll see if Mike can get back in the coaching game in 2026. If not for a NFL team, maybe he will go the Bill Belichick route, take that year off, and then maybe take over a college football team. You never quite know. We shall see. If something happens with Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh at some point, if they have a bad season and they decide to move on, Pittsburgh native Mike McCarthy wouldn't be the most stunning thing in the world for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let's get to that main topic for today. Only 5 minutes of notes today. I know some of you were upset yesterday. I went 14 minutes or something before we got to our main topic. If by the way, now I'm going to make it longer. For those of you who don't know, one of the ideas of the show originally, the Pack-A-Day podcast, and how I sort of put this together, there were a couple influences. The New York Times, The Daily was an influence. A daily show, 20, 30 minutes on a specific topic was one of those. It was at the time 5 days a week. That was my initial thought. We obviously went seven. But from a format standpoint, if you think of Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, for those of you who've seen that, you know, basically here's everything that you need to know through the course of this past week. Does it kind of, you know, short form content, you know, and then gets to his main topic and then does a huge diatribe on one topic, right? That's actually like the brainchild of what this is supposed to be. You're going to get, you know, sometimes it's going to be 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Sometimes it's going to be 14 minutes that we're going to spend on whatever the main topics are, the news and noteworthy items. And then we're going to get to our main topic for the day. So in case you were ever wondering, that's how this show is sort of put together. And that's sort of the idea behind it. Quick little snippets of what's going on and then our main topic. So without further ado, now at 6 minutes and 50 seconds, our main topic for today, which is DK Metcalf. Should they make a trade? Does a trade make sense? Would Seattle trade him? Yada, yada, yada. Let's get into all of it. The first thing I think we need to know is, like, what would DK Metcalf cost? Before we get into all the other stuff, what would it cost to get DK Metcalf? I think what you're probably looking at here, and I tried looking online of some, you know, fake trades that people have done and trying to get a little bit of a glimpse and looking at some recent wide receiver trades. I actually don't think that the worst trade to look at is Davante Adams, who was just traded to the Jets for a conditional third round pick from the Raiders to the Jets. Now, Adams is the better receiver. Both of these would be basically 1 year rentals. Adams was at the, you know, midway part of the season, so you don't get him for the full year, which is going to decrease that value a little bit. It's not completely apples to apples, but I actually think that's probably right around what you're looking at for a DK Metcalf here. That was a conditional third for Davante Adams. I actually think somewhere in that conditional third round range for DK Metcalf, maybe it can move up to a second if he hits all pro status or something like that. Maybe it can move down to a fourth if he doesn't hit certain metrics. I love conditional trades, by the way. I think you can really build them that makes, you know, for trades that make sense for all sides. But maybe they can work out something that is more conditional to that third round pick. Again, that it could become a second or could move down to a fourth, but probably somewhere in that third round range. Or maybe if there's no conditions attached to it, I could also see something where it's like a third round pick for DK Metcalf and a sixth round pick. So you're getting some draft capital back. You're just moving down, or in the Seahawks case, you're moving up in the draft, but you're still basically trading a third rounder. I could see something in that realm for DK Metcalf. I don't think it's going to be much more than that. I don't see a second round pick. I don't think it's going to be less. Like, maybe at worst case, it's like a very top of the fourth round type of pick. But I think that third round feels right about right for DK Metcalf, give or take, again, a conditional pick, or give or take a you know, some sort of sixth or seventh rounder in return. I think, again, a top 100 pick right at that spot seems just about right for DK Metcalf. What you would be getting from a contract standpoint is a 1 year, $18 million deal for DK Metcalf, and then he would be an unrestricted free agent in 2026. So this is always, again, where these things get complicated. If the Packers are okay with just giving up a third round pick for a 1 year rental, does that sound like Goody? Well, we'll talk about that. But if they're okay with that, it maybe isn't the worst case scenario in the world if they just want that 1 year rental. You might say, well, are they really going to give up a third round pick for just a 1 year rental? Here's the thing. Depending on what they're expecting to do in free agency next year, if they think a lot of next year's free agency is going to be re-signing their own guys and maybe picking up a couple guys that were released, well, then the conditional, compensatory formula comes into effect. And you would assume that if Metcalf has a good year this year, he will get a big free agent market next year. And you could theoretically maybe even get a third round in return in, you know, 2027 at that point. So it's not impossible that you could earn that 2027 third round pick back if Metcalf gets a big contract. So you trade a third round pick now, you get Metcalf for a year, he goes into free agency, and then in the following 2027 draft, you get that third round pick back. If at worst, probably a fourth round pick, right? So it's not like the end of the world. It's not like you're losing a ton of capital here and you're getting this talented wide receiver in the meantime. Still not something I think that Goody is, you know, probably going to be too keen on, but not catastrophic. You could potentially do that. Two things that you have to remember here, though. Number one is that Metcalf and his agent may say, hey, you just traded a top 100 pick. And again, we kind of talked about this with the Hassan Reddick situation and things like that, of we want a new deal, or we're going to hold out. We're not going to play, or we're going to hold in. And, you know, oh, look, yeah, you know, his hamstring's bothering him a little bit. He's not holding out, but, you know, man, that hamstring is just getting a little bit too tight. He's going to have to sit out for a while. And you end up in those sort of not great situations, right? So you have to have a very honest conversation of like, hey, are you okay with playing on a one-year deal? Or is he and his agent going to say, no, we want a long-term contract? And if so, then you've got to be ready to give out that third-round pick and then pony up a huge contract, which we've talked about these last couple of days, when you're going to make a trade and, you know, get that huge contract. Now you're trading away draft capital, you're trading away free agency capital, or just, you know, money, and you get one player in return. That's sometimes a very hard sell. And for a DK Metcalf, depending on what he wants, it's probably going to be somewhere in the 24, 25 mil per range. I don't know, maybe a 4-year deal, 4 years, 80, 4 years, 100, probably somewhere in that range. That's a pretty big contract that you're going to be giving to a DK Metcalf. But if Green Bay is okay with that, then all right, then that makes it more palatable to give up a third round pick. You're not only just going to get him for that one season, you're going to get him for 4 additional seasons. So that feels maybe better for Green Bay, but it's probably one of two things, where either you get this 1-year rental and do you want to give up a top 100 pick for a 1-year rental, or do you want to do a, you know, longer contract and actually have some money go out the door as well, but be able to keep him a little bit longer. And then sometimes, again, we talked about leverage. Leverage may be all in DK Metcalf in the agent's favor, because if they don't get the money that they want, well, now you just traded a third round pick for nothing. And you did not get that ROI or that investment that you were hoping for by trading that pick away, because Metcalf's, you know, hamstring is just a little too tight and he's going to hold in until he gets that new contract. So those are sometimes complicated situations. Now, the good news is Metcalf just turned 27. He's not going to turn 28 until the end of next season. So giving him a contract, you know, if you did do that, isn't the worst thing in the world. And certainly he's still very much in the prime of his career right now. He's 6'4", 235. He's an athletic freak. He's a playmaker. There's a lot of reasons that you would want to bring a player like DK Metcalf onto your team. Patrick Mahomes and KC, Saquon Barkley in Philly, we have our championship matchup all set. Who's going to bring home the Lombardi? Will KC three-peat? Will Saquon run wild? Either way, you absolutely cannot miss out on the last football game of the season with Prize Picks, the best place to win cash while watching the big game. And here's the big thing. Prize Picks is giving away a free pick where one of the starting quarterbacks will only need to throw for 1 yard to win. If you're correct on at least one other stat projection, you can win real cash. And that's not even all. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It is guaranteed. And don't forget that Prize Picks doesn't end with football season either. Think LeBron will have more than 39.5 points, rebounds, and assists? Think Donovan Mitchell will score more than 20.5 points? Prize Picks is the best place to win real money all year long. This week, I'm going to keep an eye on Giannis in Milwaukee, Steph for Golden State, and I'm going to look for Mikko Rantanen to make an impact with his new team following that huge blockbuster hockey trade. And don't forget to download the Prize Picks app today and use code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code Packaday to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. Now, as far as statistically, this past season, 66 catches, 992 yards, 5 touchdowns. It's not exactly jumping off the page, right? Now, he's had some really good seasons. He's an explosive playmaker. But again, it's not why we, you know, it's why we don't just box score scout. He was more important than what the stat line would tell you. And just like we talk about Christian Watson being that guy that can extend the field, and then, you know, teams have to kind of keep an eye on him, it's the same with DK Metcalf. He's making an impact on the field even when he's not the guy that's getting the ball. Just having that little bit of extra attention when he's running those 9 routes, because you don't want him to run by a bunch of people, that is a value in and of itself. 66 catches, 992 yards, and 5 touchdowns. This was PFF's breakdown of him. 108 targets, 66 catches, a 61.1% reception percentage. Did only have three drops this past year. The quarterbacks were intercepted twice when throwing in DK Metcalf's direction. He had two fumbles. He only forced five missed tackles on the entire season, had 35 first downs, and was called for seven penalties. He will be prone to getting an offensive pass interference from time to time, so that's kind of something to keep an eye on as well. From a grading standpoint, PFF had him at a 74.3 grade this past year, a 75.0 pass grade, and a 56.3 run blocking grade. Overall, his consistency from a grading standpoint really stands out. 73.4 in his rookie season, 82.5, 80.9, 77.7, 80.0, 74.3. He has been between 73.4 and 82.5 from a PFF grading standpoint every year of his career. Just Mr. Consistency, and he's played in at least 800 snaps in every season, so he's usually going to be out there on the field. Hasn't had a ton of injury concerns. Has a couple here and there, but nothing that's kept him out for any sort of significant period of time. So you're getting a consistent wide receiver, you know exactly what you're getting, who's kind of the same guy every single year, who is always going to be out there, at least mostly going to be out there for you, and doesn't miss much time. Why would Green Bay be interested? Well, Christian Watson's injury is probably 1A, right? If you have Christian Watson, it's probably a little bit overkill, and maybe they feel like, hey, we're going to get Christian Watson back by the end of the year. We can survive until then, and then that's going to be like this big, almost like trade deadline sort of guy that you get midway or probably a little bit past midway through the season, and he can make an impact at that point. That might sound good, but we know how guys coming back from ACLs can be. Sometimes it takes a second. Sometimes it's not till the following year where they really get that full speed and range of movement back, because it does take that time. So, you know, just having that option, that deep threat out there while Christian Watson is rehabbing and getting right, isn't the worst idea in the world. Get somebody to help you against man-to-man coverage, specifically somebody that can threaten and take the top off of a defense. They need that deep threat. They need that playmaker. DK Metcalf checks both of those boxes. And just having that big physical target for Jordan Love. Sometimes when things go wrong, and listen, we know that Jordan Love has a propensity to maybe throw one up, throw one into coverage from time to time. Well, having a 6'4 guy who can box everyone out and just go get that ball isn't the worst case scenario either. So again, there's a lot of reasons why Green Bay could be interested. We also heard from Brian Gutekunst when he was talking, brought Metcalf and Deebo Samuel up unprompted, that when they were drafting Elgton Jenkins, they had a variety of players who were graded in that very same range. And he included Deebo Samuel, who went a little bit before Jenkins, and DK Metcalf, who went after Jenkins. They took Jenkins. I don't think anyone's too upset by that. But he literally just mentioned that in that draft, they were very interested in DK Metcalf at that time. I would assume, based on his play in the NFL, that that probably hasn't changed all that much. He's had a very nice career in the NFL so far. So a lot of reasons why Green Bay could be interested. Why Green Bay might not be interested? Well, that one-year, $18 million deal. Again, is he going to want to restructure an extension, more money, those sort of things? Again, they can get complicated. You're giving away a top 100 pick. And again, you might get that back in a compensatory pick down the road, but you're trading away a top 100 pick that is on a very cheap contract for a guy that you immediately have to pay and you might only have for one season. Here's the thing. I know what everyone immediately thinks in these situations. It's what I heard when I said, you know, well, if you're going to trade for Myles Garrett, it's going to take two firsts or a first and a second. And immediately everyone says, yeah, all I have to do is trade away Jordan Morgan and, you know, Javon Bullard, sign me up. I'll do that. Maybe. But what if it was, again, Edgerrin Cooper as that second round pick? Or what if it's been, you know, what if it was Jair in those first three, 4 years, the way that he was playing as your first round pick? That's a lot different, right? You know, what if it was, you know, Aaron Rodgers obviously was a first round pick for Green Bay. What if it was the draft that, again, maybe it's not these exact players because Green Bay obviously doesn't need a quarterback and a safety, but Green Bay had a draft where their first and second round picks were Aaron Rodgers and Nick Collins. Imagine they were about to draft two players, a Hall of Famer and a, you know, all pro caliber player, right? That was going to be their first and second round pick this year. And they traded those two players away for, you know, in that case, DK Metcalf, right? But, in that case, Myles Garrett. But in this case, what if that third round pick, you could look at it and say, hey, Tyron Hopper, fine. I don't care. Tyron Hopper didn't even play last year. I'll trade Tyron Hopper away. Can we trade Tyron Hopper for DK Metcalf right now? I'll do that. I would too. I would very much too. What if it's Tucker Kraft, right? Like, would you trade Tucker Kraft for DK? No, Of course you wouldn't. You have a really talented young tight end that's in the cheap years of his deal, who looks like an absolute stud. You're not making that deal. So, there's a bit of a gamble there. I get it. But that's why you want to hold on to as many picks as you can and have as many picks as you can, because you're trying to hit on 3-4 of those guys that are going to be cheap and super talented. And you don't know if they're going to end up being Pro Bowlers or all pros or complete busts. And, you know, that's the lottery of it all. But there's a reason why teams really like to hold on to those draft picks, is because they are lottery tickets. And again, you don't know exactly what you're giving up. And we know that Goody's a fan of his draft picks, and specifically his top 100 picks. Furthermore, he's not a great run blocker, and Packers really like their versatile wide receivers. DK is not the most versatile guy in the world. Outside wide receiver that runs a handful of routes more often than not. So not your typical prototype Matt LaFleur sort of wide receiver. Why Seattle would be interested? Well, they're not in a great salary cap situation. They're not really in contention status right now. If they're not going to extend him, if they've made the determination, hey, we are not going to extend DK Metcalf, we're just going to let him hit free agency next year, well, then getting something for him now is probably the better way to go, unless you think you're winning a Super Bowl this upcoming season, which seems a little bit probably premature for where Seattle's at from an organizational standpoint. And also they have Jaxon Smith-Njigba, who seems very much ready to break out, be kind of that number one wide receiver, and then they can go out and add some younger players to that room and start, you know, really getting that young wide receiver core going, for whether it's Geno Smith or some eventual young quarterback that they're probably going to have to get sooner rather than later. Why Seattle might not be interested? Maybe they don't want to trade him to another NFC team like Green Bay, where they're not that far apart. You know, maybe that's something that they don't want to do, or maybe they just don't get the draft capital that they want. Maybe they are dead set on getting a third and a fifth round pick for Metcalf, and where teams are at, are they're saying, we'll give you a fourth round pick. And they might just say, we're good. We're just going to keep him in that case. That could absolutely be the case. So if there's a discrepancy there, that would be another reason why maybe Seattle would not be interested in trading DK Metcalf. As far as the scouting report goes, he's a fun player. He's a really fun player. Big physical body over the middle of the field, like almost a tight end at times. Like this is the uniqueness of DK Metcalf. Unbelievable speed, has the ability to beat you down the field and just run right past you. And like all, if you're like looking at him, and it's almost like a, like you're looking down the tunnel of a train, like a train, you know, coming through a tunnel, and you're looking at it, it's like, is that light coming? Like, is that a train? And then all of a sudden the train comes, and it may, like, maybe feels like it's not going super fast. And then all of a sudden it goes by you, and it's like, holy crap, that thing is moving insanely fast. Like, that's DK Metcalf. Like, is that it looks like a big train coming. He's kind of slow. Oh my God. And he's gone. Like that can be DK Metcalf. He's big, physical. You don't know, necessarily expect it when you first see him, but he can run right past you, and he does it with consistency. But he also has that big physical frame that sometimes over the middle of the field, they'll just run those short little routes. He'll just do a little curl over the middle. And even if there's somebody on his back, he just boxes it out, makes the catch, and it's a nice 7-8 yard gain. And it's pretty simple. They also use him on a lot of crossing routes as well, and he has success there because he's got the speed. If he gets that momentum going, especially on a crosser, right? You're already going full speed, catch it out of the air, and he gets going full speed. Well, now you're a little bit like a tank in the open field, and that's not what people want to see either. So there's a variety of different ways that you can use him, but he's got that box out ability, and he can be that big physical guy over the middle of the field. He's also got that game-breaking ability, like we mentioned. The crossing routes are good. He's consistent. He's dependable, which we talked about and looked at from the snap counts and the PFF grades. He's super athletic. So you will see him do freaky stuff. I still remember that play where he chased down, what was it, Buda Baker from behind, where it looks like he's like a, you know, just a man possessed coming down the field and just going at a crazy speed. And then, he'll leap over people, and it's super athletic. He's got unbelievable footwork along the sideline. So he will make some spectacular catches and is very coordinated. Body control, get the feet down, toe drag swag, whatever it is you want to call it. Again, super, super athletic dude. Speed and power after the catch. Again, he didn't break many tackles or force many misses, only 5 this past year. But you get him going in the open field, and he's got the speed and power to really threaten anyone at any moment. And he's a matchup problem. You get a fast, small corner, and Metcalf can out-physical him. You get a bigger physical corner, and Metcalf can potentially run by him. And safeties, you can't match up with them. Obviously, linebackers, you can't match up with them. So there's not a lot of, 6'4", 200-pound, corners or safeties that can run a, 4.3 40 down the field and stick with them. So he's definitely a bit of a matchup problem. From a negative standpoint, the route tree, the nuance. Again, there's not a ton of routes in his tree. It's not the most attention to detail route runner that you've ever seen. And he's not a big time. Now, let me finish. He's not a big time separator is what I was going to say, but I want to add a caveat onto that. When he's running a nine route, and if you're not ready or your feet get stuck in mud a little bit, he's separating and he's separating fast. And that's when you'll see him with 10, 15, 20 yards of separation. That looks really good. But in like the nuanced routes, in like, you know, middle of the field, short, intermediate routes, he's just not getting much separation. It's a lot of contested catches and it's fine. It's not, he doesn't need a ton of separation because again, he's got that build and can kind of box out, but there's defenders that are usually by him in those situations. His blocking is not ideal, especially for this Matt LaFleur offense. Again, we talked about not a super versatile guy, just outside wide receiver with a handful of routes that he runs well. And again, primarily an outside wide receiver. So some positives, some negatives, very fun player. I mean, a player that I think pretty much every team would love to have on their team in some capacity, and is going to bring something different to pretty much all 32 teams in the NFL. Let's talk very quickly about that Jair for Metcalf sort of situation. The pretty easy answer here is, yeah, I don't think so. It's really, really difficult when you get into player trades. Both players need to pass a physical, and like how each team values each player is like can be wildly different. So you might say, we'll trade you this player. And they're like, that player? And then they'll make, we'll trade you this player. It's that player. And that's why a lot of times you see player for draft compensation instead. NBA is totally different. But in football, you're usually seeing a player for a draft pick, and you very, very, very rarely see player for player trades. Also, you're kind of looking at, you know, either a team that's looking to sell and a team that's looking to buy. So it's rare that you get two teams that are, you know, going to give a player for a player. But we've seen Goody do it. We've seen Demaryius Randall for DeShone Kizer. That worked out for everyone. But you will see that from time to time from you know, just an NFL standpoint. We've seen Goody do it. But I say probably not. I think if you're, you know, first of all, if you're trading Metcalf, Metcalf's going to have way more value at this point in time. And also one of the keys for trading away Metcalf would be some of that salary cap relief. And, you know, you would get Jair relatively cheap if you're Seattle. I don't know. Could it work? Potentially. You know, could you do like Jair and a third for like Metcalf and a fifth? Like something like that. Yeah, I think that could be something that works. Or maybe Jair and a fourth for Metcalf and a seventh. Like maybe something like that could work. But it's just very, very unlikely that anything like that would ever come to fruition. I don't know. I will say not impossible, I guess, but pretty impossible. I would not look for that, any sort of deal like that to happen. Just again, you just don't see very many player-to-player trades. So I don't think I'm going on a crazy limb there. Should the Packers make the call? This is a complicated answer. I think you call and say, what's the asking price? And if the asking price is okay and you're interested, then you call the agent and say, what are we looking at here? Is he good playing in Green Bay? Would he be excited to play in Green Bay? If not, I'm probably just like, all right, I'm good. If he's like, yeah, no, I want to be in Green Bay. I want to play with Jordan. I'm going to be a difference maker for you guys. And like, let's get this going. Like, I want to do this right now. And he's excited about it. And the compensation's good with Seattle. Again, maybe third for Metcalf and a sixth, something like that. All right, I'm going to discuss it. I'm at least going to look into it. My answer is, if he were available on the open market for a one-year $18 million deal and you didn't have to give anything in return, I think it's probably a no-brainer. Like you kind of bring that player in, have him be the Christian Watson for the season, get that sort of dynamic playmaker on the outside, and then you can kind of move on the following year and then make the decision. Do you want to bring Metcalf back? Do you want to bring Watson back? Do you want to bring Dobbs back? Do you want to go in an entirely different direction? You'd have some options at that point. So I would make an argument for it. Giving up a top 100 pick in addition to that one-year $18 million deal or something bigger if you're going to have to do like 4 years, $90 million or something like that, I'm probably out on that. And I think very much Green Bay is going to be out on that as well. I understand the desire for it. I really do. I think he would be a fun player in this offense, but I don't think he's a 1A perfect fit in the offense. Not the blocker on the outside, not the nuanced route runner, can't put him in any position, which is usually important to LaFleur. I don't think he's that perfect fit. I don't think that you want to give up a top 100 pick for a potential one-year rental or somebody that you have to probably pay more than you want to pay. And I just don't see Goody going in that direction. I really, really don't. So I would love to tell you like, hey, yep, this is one that you really want to keep an eye on. And I think that this could really happen. I think probably one of the less, we talked about obviously Miles, by the way, I guess I should have said that Miles Garrett, the Andrew Berry, the Browns GM came out and flat out said, we're not trading him. It's done. It's over. Thank God I did that episode yesterday before that happened. But yeah, so Miles Garrett not getting traded. Max Crosby, you can take that one and scratch it off your list. I don't think Rasul is going to happen. Davante Adams, I think, is somewhat in the realm of possibility. Khalil Mack, I think should very much be in the realm of possibility. Metcalf, I would lean a little bit more towards unlikely. And again, if it was just a free agent, open market, you know, one-year deal sort of thing, sure. But again, if he's on the open market, he's going to get a 4 or 5 year deal. And again, I bet somebody's a little bit more interested than Green Bay is and is willing to probably offer a little bit more. I don't think Goody would offer a third round pick. And my guess is if they do trade him, they probably get something in that vicinity. So yeah, I don't see it personally. I love the ideas. I love these trade, you know, sort of ideas that are out there in the ether. I love the way that people are thinking. These are the sort of things that we should be discussing and talking about. It's why I am talking about it. And it's why I love having these conversations, because they should be looking at, you know, corners, which we'll go over some eventually. They should be looking at pass rushers, like whether it's a Khalil Mack or a Max Crosby, and seeing what's out there. We'll talk about Josh Sweat and Milton Williams at some point as well. They should probably be looking at offensive linemen. They should be looking at dynamic wide receivers. So I understand it. I love it, but I just don't see this one happening. 0.05% chance. I'll say 0.5% chance that DK Metcalf is a Packer this upcoming season. All right, friends, that is going to do it for me today. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those 5-star reviews. I appreciate you guys a ton. I'll be right back here tomorrow. Tentative free agent topic. We'll go over T. Higgins. We'll have the conversation. It's going to be a huge cost, but we'll see what he brings to the table. I'm excited to break down the tape. I'm going to be doing that tomorrow, going through all the T. Higgins stuff. Is he worth it? You know, the beauty of this is, you know, I went into Davante Adams thinking like, I guarantee I'm going to love this idea. And I was like, okay with the idea after watching the tape. It was fine. I'm still cool with it, but not as in love with it as I was prior to going into the tape. And sometimes you go into these being like, yeah, I don't think there's going to be any real chance that I like this. And again, even when we talked about Khalil Mack, I kind of liked the idea going in, but man, still 34-year-old defensive ends are not usually my cup of tea. And then I go and put on the tape and he looks like he's 26 years old. And my mind has changed very, very quick. I'm going to go into this tomorrow thinking, I don't think there's much of a chance that, you know, T. Higgins makes sense for this team, but I know it's a name that gets thrown out a lot. Let's go watch it. Let's see what it looks like. And we'll discuss tomorrow as to whether or not it makes sense. And maybe we get to tomorrow and I'm like, holy crap, guys, I was wrong. There is that 1A free agent out there. It is T. Higgins. They need to go get him right now. He's the answer to all of life's problems. And maybe that's going to be the case. That's the beauty of this. We'll find out. We'll talk through it tomorrow. And I can't wait for that topic. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Step Keat, Love and Football, Dylan Pat Scott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Allison Tuckwab, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, and Ian Ewing. I'll see you guys tomorrow to talk some T. Higgins, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.